Some of you may have noticed in recent times that I spoke a lot from the book of Ecclesiastes. The reason for that being that I spent almost a year in it, going through it and rereading it and studying it. And finally I'm out of it now. But when I finished it all, I decided, well, may as well look at the other, read the other writings of Solomon, since I've spent so much time. And it didn't take me long just to go through the Song of Songs and the Proverbs. Clearly saw something in there. And what I saw is that in his writings, Solomon seems to address three stages of human life, or life experience, which can also parallel perhaps three stages of relationships, relationship with God, perhaps relationship with spouse. And as you look at his books and you start with the Song of Songs, we can clearly see that the key feature in the Song of Songs is passion. So it describes a, you know, falling in love stage of the relationship between a man and a woman. And also you can think about our relationship with God, because for some people when they first encounter God, God of the Bible, they literally fall in love with him. And this can happen because, unlike in other religions, God of the Bible is a relational God. So it can happen. And you find that when you fall in love, you are driven by pure passion and nothing else matters. And passion in a positive sense, you know, the passion that can take you to the ends of the earth if necessary. Sometimes when you're in love, you don't even need to eat, do you? You don't need to eat, you just need to love, yeah? You are singularly focused on the other person who is the object of your love with such intensity that everything else naturally becomes secondary matter. Everything else is just secondary. So focused. But after living for a period of time with such intensity, it's very intense, your body and your mind starts to feel the wear and tear of it all, and it starts to wonder, how long can this state be maintained, really? How long can you remain in the intense state of being in love? 1 week? 1 month? What about 1 year? 2 years? What about 10 years? 20 years? All right, yeah, see, you're very enthusiastic. 60 years? 70 years? 80 years? Yes. Well, the Song of Songs, it's the love song written by Solomon. It's full of descriptions of intense desire as experienced when we're in love. It is driven by pure passion. The reason, or intellect, is not mentioned much. As far as I can recall, it's not mentioned at all in the book. Not at all. Just passion. Then you move to stage two. Intellect or reason. And this is the book of Proverbs. You know? You reason things of life. Now, when you read the book of Proverbs, there is not much positive written about passion in the book of Proverbs, is there? If it's mentioned, it's mentioned in a negative way, usually. The ode to love and passion from the Song of Songs, it's replaced now with the ode to wisdom. And it takes about 10 chapters when you read the Proverbs before Solomon actually gets to Proverbs and starts talking about, you know, practical, streetwise things of life. 10 chapters he sings this ode to wisdom. So there is a movement from the state of being an intense state of intense passion to the state of being more calm and collected and cool, headed. This doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Not at all, because it's not. But this stage too, the stage of wisdom or reason, rationality, this stage of, let's say, life experience perhaps, or a stage of relationship with another human being, or a state of relationship with God, is characterized by practical, down-to-earth, you know, streetwise wisdom. Very practical, very down-to-earth. And everything seems to be rational, everything is logical. When you read the book of Proverbs, you get this overwhelming sense that if you keep the commandments, if you do God's will, you will prosper. Good things will happen to you. Bad things will happen to those who do not follow the commandments, those who disobey God, those who are unwise, those who are slow to listen or unwilling to accept the teaching of wisdom, the power of reasoning. And it is very, very consistent throughout the book. If you do this, you will surely prosper. If you work hard, success is guaranteed. Not only success, more than that, riches are in store for you. And here, the Western prosperity gospel finds its justification. And rightly so, it's all over the book. But just like you cannot forever maintain the intense state of being in love, the state of pure passion, so you can't forever maintain the state of, you know, pure rationality. Mere rationality. Or perhaps let me say, as C.S. Lewis said, mere Christianity. Mm-hmm. Where he wonderfully presents a rational defense of Christian faith and mere Christianity. Very rational, you can't argue against it. You can't argue against it. But after his wife had a long-term illness and she died, the state of mere rationality went down the drain for C.S. Lewis. I think it's his best book that I read, A Grief Observed, where C.S. Lewis struggles to deal with the loss of his wife in the context of God's silence. So much so that he concludes that God has shut the door in his face. That's how he describes it. So when rationality left the center stage, C.S. Lewis moved on to the stage three of the human experience, or you could say parallel in that human relationship with God. So as we have moved from stage one, passion, Song of Songs, to stage two, wisdom and the Proverbs, now we move to stage three, that is ultimately portrayed in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we can call this stage three the stage of mere faith or trust. When I say mere faith, I don't mean to say that feelings and rationality are out of picture. They're not erased from the human experience. We still feel the feelings. We still reason and think the thoughts. But at this stage three, mere rationality will just not do it. Just as the pure passion is not able to take us to stage two of life experience, we have to deal with practical issues of life. So wisdom or rationality is not able to take us through stage three of the human experience or stage three of our relationship with God. Unlike the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, which says that if you do what is right, good things will happen to you, and if you work hard, you'll get rich. The book of Ecclesiastes turns it all upside down by claiming that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. But time and chance happen to us all. Even worse, he continues by saying, I have seen evil things happen to those who do what is right. I have seen good things happen to those who do what is wrong. In fact, the bottom line is, One and the same thing happens to all of us, the righteous and the wicked. Clean and the unclean, this is an evil that is done under the sun. But one thing has happened to all in the end. So if we go back to the beginning. It is very easy to maintain a relationship when you are in love and there is intense passion. You know, there is no children around to bother and sidetrack you, there is no, you're just dating, it's all fun. But then you move to the middle, and you can say that it is not as easy to maintain a relationship without passion, once you've been in a relationship for years. But with rationality, with wisdom, calm, collected and cool heads, you know, these things can help us through. It only makes sense. You know, so this is the second stage or the middle stage. But then we move closer to the end. Towards the end of life. You know, a relationship that lasted maybe many, many decades. We move towards the end, closer to the end, where the passion is perhaps long gone. And maybe things don't make sense anymore. Things just happen. And it don't seem to make sense anymore. Nothing seems to make sense, perhaps. At the time when both sense and sensibility are gone, what do you do then? How do you maintain your relationship with God? And as I said earlier, this also can parallel our human relationships. No human relationship can survive without the element of trust. Some kind of underlying trust. You can survive without passion, and you can survive some strange, irrational periods you go through, but without trust, the relationship just cannot last. And so it is with our relationship with God. Mere faith, or pure faith, is the only thing that can take us through this very difficult stage. And the Revelation calls this the patient endurance of the saints. In the moments, there is no support, there is no help, there is no healing, there is no liberation from the situation that oppresses us. In those moments when God is silent, and we are surrounded with darkness, God still expects us to trust Him. Mm-hmm. Even though He is silent and we are in darkness. And to maintain our relationship with Him. Just like Jesus on the cross was surrounded with supernatural darkness, yet He did say in the end, "Into your hands, my Father, Spirit." So when we reach these moments where we don't feel like we should go on and keep going on, when things do not seem to make sense, when there does not seem to be any reason perhaps to keep going, we are called by God to patiently endure. It's a tough going, but that's what He calls us to do, to patiently endure. Why? Because it's not the end. It's a moment of our life experience. Because we're all on a journey and we keep moving. And we're all at different stages of this journey. You know, some of us, we just started dating. Some of us, we've been married a few years. Some married for decades. Some of us may just start in relationship with God. Some of us may have been doing this for many decades. And sometimes these stages don't seem to come in the right order at all and can appear and reappear in different stages of life, because that is how life is. It's made of the unexpected stuff. But wherever we are on this journey, we are called to keep moving, we are called to keep growing, to keep maturing, we are called to keep walking. It's no good looking back. We have no time travel machines to return to the past. But we also can't stay in the present forever, because the present goes with the sunset, doesn't it? It's gone. It the sunset, that today is coming. So we need to lift our heads, look forward, and keep walking, and keep moving. And it may be difficult, and gets more difficult as the further you go in your relationships with people and with God, but there has to be something deep within that will carry you through all the way. And this is what God wants from us and expects from us. So may He bless us and strengthen us that we may be able to continue to walk with Him no matter what we face, no matter what we have faced in the past, no matter what's happened today, no matter how the future will turn out for us.